We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 513. Scott, it's going to be the last episode before I become a father. I don't know what that means in the grand scheme of things. It's weird to say, I guess. That's all.
You're screwed. That's it. So everything's going. Your time is now completely toast. You are at the beck and call of your wife and new mother and your newly born child. So yeah, that's it, the fun starting, man.
I got a lot of shit going on right now, but it feels like there's a lot of change happening. It's right before the baseball season. I'm hoping that means good things for a fresh baseball season. Erase the unpleasant memories of 2020 as far as baseball goes. Like, let's just keep it in baseball context. Last year, what did we have to deal with? We had to deal with the Astros cheating scandal. That sucked. Then we had to deal with the owners and the players just being school children and fighting back and forth through the media members and millionaires fighting with billionaires and not really just doing what we all want them to do, which is play baseball.
I still expect some of that.
Oh, no, we're going to get to that. And then we had funky season, funky rules, all that stuff. It didn't feel like a real baseball season to me. Yankees fizzled out in the playoffs. So I'm hoping 2021 is just different all around. I know it's not going to be completely normal. I know it's not going to be like, oh, let's just show up Saturday afternoon at the ballpark, grab a few beers at Billy's, go in, watch a game. I don't know if that's going to happen. But at least we're going to have more of an actual baseball season than we did last year.
Yeah, we got good news coming in. Guys showing up in the best shape of their life. That feels normal to me.
Well, that's nothing new.
Yeah, but that's normalcy. That's the normalcy that I need. I need those reports. I need those reports of guys showing up at spring training, coming in with new off-season workout results and all these different things. So I know we'll talk about Stanton and Judge coming in with drastically different offseason approaches, which I'm very happy about, actually. I think the changes that they made, while who knows if they will work, seemingly are good.
You're talking about yoga? The yoga?
Yoga, yeah. Oh, I'm all about the yoga.
We've been preaching yoga and sleeping pods on airplanes for like 5 years on this show.
Right? Stop lifting weights.
Did someone finally think like, oh, hey, maybe these guys don't need to bench press? Like, did you see that Luke Voigt story that he reached his max on one arm bench press? Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, bro. Because that helps you hit a baseball.
In fact, that's just going to help you. It's going to limit the stretch that you can get on a ball on the ground. You know, it's going to go under your glove now because your bicep is going to stretch back and snap back into form.
Listen, I'm no fake doctor like you, but I'm pretty sure that's how you get sports hernias is one arm bench pressing.
there is something about a baseball player not having to be weight room strong, just be country strong, be nimble, be limber. That's better. If you look back at how the elder days and some of these guys would prepare for seasons, they would never lift weights. They would never do any of that stuff. And I know baseball has changed and sports have changed and get off my lawn, but the body hasn't changed that much. There are still things that do work. Being nimble is a good thing.
Are you buying this though? Like there was the article written, I'm trying to look for the headline. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton dramatically changed offseason workouts. Didn't we hear this at the end of last season?
No, I think they came into
this last offseason.
I think when you're looking at the approach, the fact that they are now, you know, practicing yoga and like stretching more and doing these types of things that are for me very good as a baseball player. That's what I want. I want these guys to be stretched out, you know, be flexible as all hell and have, you know, good motion, good range of motion in all of their joints and limbs and all of these things, rather than putting up brute strength. Like gravity is going to take over for guys like Stanton and Judge. Just get to that point. Just get your bat to that point consistently and be there every day to do that. That's where I am. Like all those other things, they're going to happen. That ball is going to go a very long way when you are 6'8". You don't have to lift that many more weights to hit the ball out of the ballpark. You just don't.
It was never a thing. I know the game has changed. You don't have to tell me this, but 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even before the PED era, which was in the 90s, weightlifting was not the primary form of baseball exercise.
No, throwing.
Plenty of guys hit home runs. Plenty of guys played every day. I've said this 100 times on this show. The most underrated stat in sports is games played. We kind of take it for granted. Like, oh, that guy gets out there every day. Yeah, that's good. That's what you're paying him for. You don't have to. Aaron Judge has missed 35% of games over his career, 40% of games. Like, yeah, it's great when he's on the field, but he's not on the field 2 out of 3 times.
I'm a big fan of the conditioning program. If it's more about the stretching and yoga and doing things that will help the muscles withstand injury. I mean, how many soft tissue injuries have we have to withstand for them to change to a more like plyometric yoga type? This is something that we've been wanting for a long time. So I'm glad they're doing it. We'll see if it works. If it doesn't, then, you know, go back to the drawing board. But
well, this is actually, we were going to save mailbag questions for another show, but I want to just do this one as we're talking about this conditioning. It's from Jeffrey O'Hara. He says, I like how you guys described the Tanaka contract. Did not meet any lofty expectations, but the Yankees probably still do it with 2020 hindsight. What is the, do we have to like rethink the phrase 2020 hindsight? Because now 2020 is just, when you say those two numbers together, 2020, you think of 2020 the year, which was just a dog shit year. So I feel like that 2020 hindsight. Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't even know. I'm half the time I don't listen to what you're saying. So and then I heard that I was like,
half the time you're not listening to me.
40% of the time.
What is the minimum Stanton will have to do to approach the same bar? And I thought this was a great question, because I'm afraid it's already a failure for Stanton and I don't know how he overcomes it. And it's because of the injuries. And so far in 3 years, he's played 199 games. 158 of those games came in 2018. So since 2018, he played 18 games, which was 11% of the season in 2019, and then 23 games, which was 38% of the season in 2020. It was one thing after the other with Stanton. And these are supposed to be the healthy years. These are supposed to be the prime years of a baseball player, aged 29, 30, 31. He's not going to get healthier when he's 34, 35, 36 years old, and they're still going to be paying him. So I'm afraid from a health standpoint, not a performance standpoint, because when Stanton's been on the field, he's been good. He's been what they acquired, a 132 OPS plus. That's what you wanted from Stanton. I'm afraid health-wise, he's not going to be able to live up to expectations of this contract.
So I'll disagree with you, because I don't think it really matters the length of the contract and, you know, over the past 3 years, what's happened. Reggie Jackson, that's why. All you got to do is have your moment. You got to have that moment in the postseason. If he has that moment, then and they win a World Series.
Reggie Jackson didn't have one moment. He led them to two World Series, and he played. He didn't.
I understand
he wasn't
that,
an injury prone guy.
But Stan's going to be here for 10 years, so he's got opportunities to have these moments in the postseason. That's what he has to have. That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, he's got to be on the field for these moments. 2019.
Right. But the regular season, when we're looking at stats and all these things, don't matter as much. You have to look at what happened in the postseason. And actually, Stanton was very good in the postseason. So
this past year, he was very good.
All he has to do, the judgment will come. And this is exactly the opposite of what we said for Tanaka. Let me rephrase that. It is exactly what happened with Tanaka, where it was good, but he had postseason success, but didn't win that championship. My point is for him is that he's got to have that championship success. He's got to win a championship. He's got to do well, contribute to it to some extent. But it doesn't have to be over the extent of the contract. If he has six bad years and wins two championships, I don't think anybody's going to care.
I don't know. I think expectations are so high. They acquired an MVP candidate. They acquired the reigning MVP.
It depends what you're looking at. Are you telling me like how is history going to look back on Stanton if you win two championships?
How are they
going to
treat
six bad years?
How are they going to... Six bad years is a lot of years. How are they going to treat it year to year? Yes, the championship will outweigh a lot of the bad.
It will outweigh everything.
But he needs to get on the field to do that, and he hasn't been able to get on the field. And then he was on the field in the 2019 ALCS, and he hit a home run off of Justin Verlander in game one of the 2019 ALCS. And then he pulled out of the lineup the next night.
Yeah, that was a little odd. But you looking at what he did in 2020, I mean, the man showed up and was a wrecking crew for the majority of the time he was out there. So if he's able to withstand, and again, what does this mean? Does this mean him not playing a full season and you know, had them, you know, considering the load management type? And I know we'll get into the new changes for this year, and expanded playoffs as of now are not part of it. So that's something that we can look forward to for some competition in baseball. I'm happy about that. But does that mean that, you know, he's going to have to play more in the regular season now, and that will risk him? Who knows? All I know is that he was very good in the postseason last year, and that when we see him as an impactful bat, he's extremely helpful in this lineup and makes this team that much better. So he's got to have these moments in the playoffs, like every other Yankee. Every single Yankee is their career and what we think about them is determined by what they do in the postseason. Bottom line, stop. Hard stop. That's it.
He has played throughout his career, he's played about 70 to 75% of games that his team has been eligible for. He's gone through some brutal injuries that weren't his fault, like when he got hit in the face. Like, you want to throw that injury out? Like, I'm totally with you, because that's a fluke thing. Kind of like Judge getting hit in the wrist on a pitch is a fluke thing. But then there's also these injuries that he dealt with in 19 and 20 with the Yankees, which are muscle injuries. I don't throw those out. Those are, in my opinion, those are Stanton's fault.
Those are from bench pressing Instagram models.
Right. So
We're doing yoga with Instagram models.
And he's also been durable in seasons. 2018, he played 98% of the games. 2017, he played 98% of the games.
Played through injury too, when needed, when very much needed.
So he's capable of doing it. I'm trying to find where's the happy medium for Stanton, for trying to keep him healthy, but also just kind of himself and the Yankees looking and just saying, Just go out and play. If you're a little banged up, go out and play. Sometimes,
which he's done, which he's to his credit has done in the past as well.
He did in 18, but then he didn't in 19 and 20.
And who knows where the, you know, what the considerations were, if that was also team driven. There were other considerations that I think go into this. I don't think it's only a Stanton move, but yes, there are. Here's the other side of this though. Like when Stanton mechanically is not right, he is bad. He looks terrible when he's not mechanically right at the plate. He's got that type of swing where he's got to be in his rhythm, seeing the ball well, timing's got to be there. And if it's not, you know, he goes from very good to very bad pretty quickly. And it's pretty crazy and scary how fast that can happen. But at the same time, like the man did play through injury. He had that, what was it, a hamstring? It was a quad. It was something lower body that he played through. And to his credit, the Yankees team needed him at the time and he gutted through it. So,
and he DH'd through it.
Yeah. Well,
he's going to be the DH. So would you take 70% if I told you you can sign up for 70% of Stanton games for the remainder of that contract? Are you taking it?
I mean, I guess so. If it's like a very healthy Stanton, then yeah, I think 70% of him is good. Today's game is different. So I'm weighing that and I'm understanding that these guys are never going to play 100%. 90% is a stretch. So when you're talking about 70% now, it's like, okay, it's not even that much. That's like being happy after getting five innings of a starter. Our bar has been lowered. The quality start is no longer 6 1/3 or 6 2/3 or 6 innings.
It used to be a six inning start. 6 inning, 3 runs during the PED era was a quality start, which is a 4.5 ERA. And I always thought, hey, why is a 4.5 ERA quality? But shit, now 6 innings, you might as well be a Cy Young winner if you're going 6 innings every night.
Yeah. So, you know, again, bar lower, the amount of guys that are on this team, he's got flexibility to shuffle around a little bit. So I want him healthy for the playoffs.
Of course, that's the end goal. That's the end goal for Judge.
But with him, he's got to get ready.
For the pitching staff, for everybody on this team. We talked about the question marks in the starting rotation. It's, okay, how is Corey Kluber going to progress throughout the year and hopefully be ready to go in September and October? How is Severino going to come back from Tommy John surgery and hopefully be ready to contribute in October? How is Montgomery and Taillon going to build off of their seasons after Tommy John surgery and be ready for October? That's a conversation for the entire team. Will they be ready for October?
Sure. And now, you know, I think because the expanded playoffs are not on the table as we stand today.
Do you think that's going to get changed? Because I don't, that's just money in everyone's pocket. So I think
the universal DH and the expanded playoffs right now, the fact that the union didn't put that in their proposal is just like, what are we doing here? Okay. Clearly you guys want this, but you're doing it for whatever. There's a concession, the bargaining chip. It's all about the 2020. It's all about the collective
the next
bargaining
CBA.
Agreement right now.
The players do not want to agree to anything the owners are proposing right now out of principle.
And the owners are like, here, we're conceding. And they're like, wait a minute. We don't believe you. That's not, you're not doing that with the, you know, you're not doing that in good faith. You're doing that. This is condescending, or you're talking down to us by giving us what we want. No way.
You know
we'll never accept it.
Let me read this quote.
It's a game. This is still a game.
This is a quote from Ken Rosenthal's article a few days ago.
How dare you give us what we want?
Ken Rosenthal wrote, if a deal to delay the season was going to happen, it needed to happen long before early February when spring training camps were about to open. And now that Major League Baseball and the Players Association have struck out again, they must deal with the consequences of their inaction. I read that sentence and I made a promise to myself. I'm not going to get sucked in to their bitchiness this time around. I got sucked in when the pandemic first happened last year and the league was shut down. I got sucked in to the bitching back and forth. I made a promise to myself, I'm not going to do it this time because I absolutely despise both sides in this argument.
You have a kid coming like any moment. So you have no time to be worried about what these guys are bitching back and forth about. Don't worry about it. Whatever happens is going to happen.
But
the expectations need to be managed here. They are going to play games. They are going to use the media to pin each other against each other in the public eye. All of this will be jockeyed back and forth because the collective bargaining agreement is getting closer and closer and closer. And nobody wants to set a precedent that will go against them when they're ready to negotiate their side of things and get what they want. All of this is horseshit.
And can you believe they're doing it again, though?
Yes, of course I can believe it because my expectations are in line. But yes, of course.
They got so much criticism last year for doing it. You would have thought they would have learned their lesson, right? No. They're not that stupid. Are they actually that stupid?
Well, I think that they just understand what is coming next year, so they're going to not leverage themselves in a way that's going to make them look bad or put them in a position where they can't bargain what they want. So,
oh my God,
you weren't going to worry about it and you're freaking stressing out about it right now.
I'm not stressing about it.
Can you turn the page? You need to be an example.
I just really do find it amazing in a bad way that they're doing it again. I'm at a loss for words that these two sides could be so obtuse in their actions and realizing that no one wants to hear this. We just want baseball. Figure it out. Shut up, shut your mouths, and figure it out.
You get some time in the hole if you call someone obtuse. You gotta be careful with that.
Shawshank reference.
A little Shawshank reference there. I'm happy because what it's doing right now is it's saying, baseball starting. They're like, okay, let's go.
Nothing.
It doesn't matter to me what they're bitching about on Twitter. I just want to see grown ass men in shorts, in sleepwear,
in masks.
Throw a ball back and forth.
Now it's going to be masks.
Fine. I don't care. Wear masks. Do what you got to do and go out there and throw baseballs back and forth to each other and get stronger in that way. The old fashioned way. Long toss. Let's see it.
The owners had a representative from the Biden administration suggest a 1 month delay to the season, which would help get all the players and personnel and coaches vaccinated. And the Players Association did not want to be a part of that conversation. That's out of principle. Again, back to the whole thing. We don't want to concede anything leading up to the next CBA negotiations. But thinking about it from an outsider's perspective, logically, wouldn't that, if they could promise a 1 month delay gets everyone involved in Major League Baseball vaccinated, wouldn't that be the best thing for completing most of the season?
Seemingly, it's just hard to promise that, I think. I think it's really difficult to say that that's going to, in fact, happen because I could see how if that's where the bar is, then that's what we're waiting for. And then it gets delayed. Okay, now we're delayed 2 months.
That's why they're not doing it.
Yeah, but there was a... there was a stalling of, there was a delay in shipment, so we got to wait more. So they're at the, beck and call of the vaccines actually getting to where they need to be and then executed in it properly. But I mean, there's so many things in place now as well. I'm looking through the list I don't know, are we talking about that yet? You want to get into like the different protocols? Because
I was mainly concerned with the on-field ones because that's what affects us mostly. And it's going to be a lot of the same stuff we saw last year, like 7-inning doubleheaders, runner on second in extra innings, position players cannot pitch unless it's a 6-run game, all those sorts of things. 26-man rosters. But like, what specifically are you talking about?
And 26-man goes to 28 in the postseason. But they have, I'm just going to read a few of these. Mandatory 5-day at-home quarantine before reporting to spring training. And then frequent tests, 10-day isolation period required of individuals who test positive. Individuals who have been identified as being in close contact, they will have to have a mandatory quarantine for 7 days and then must test negative on day 5 in order to get back to club activities. New league-wide code of conduct prohibits certain high-risk activities outside the ballpark, indoor gatherings of 10 or more, indoor
strip clubs,
bars,
casinos,
strip clubs, yeah. Casinos, any of those fun activities.
Looking at you, Marlins, Cardinals.
They're all prohibited. During the season, individuals during road trips are not permitted to leave the hotel other than team activities at the team facility or ballpark, or medical reasons, outdoor walks, exercise, outdoor dining, if approved by the joint committee. So all of these things, contact tracing program that will be in place, and face coverings must be worn properly at all times in club facilities and in the dugout. Other than players on the field, they must wear during pregame warmups. And all MLB clubs will have a compliance officer, a contact tracing officer, and a face mask enforcement officer. Fines will be issued non-compliance during games, and fines will be donated to charity.
Yeah,
Three security guards monitoring per team the conduct. That's actually going to happen? Because last year it was
those guys are going to get wedgies and stuffed in a locker. It's gonna be like the buffoons that were in charge of monitoring the replay room. What happened to those guys?
I just find it funny that we got three additional people now to monitor the other people that are supposed to not like be on top of each other. Let's throw three more people in there to make sure that everybody else is like
because you can't trust 25-year-old millionaires to do what they're told.
It's just, you know, I don't know, some of these things, man. Maybe they'll be they got Hawkeye on them. They'll be watching from inside the dugout. In a secure room with a monitor from cameras.
People are big mad that we're going to have the 7-inning doubleheaders and the extra inning rule again. Do you care at all?
Yeah, it's stupid. Just because I think that they're going to, again, 2020 was the Trojan horse of dumb rules and it's being implemented again. So for that purpose, yes. Do I find it surprising? Absolutely not. I saw this coming a mile away.
I don't like the 7-inning doubleheaders. Like, I honestly just rather than play one 9-inning game and then just not play that other game. Like, give me a real baseball game, give me a 9-inning game, and then screw the other game. I don't care. We'll just not have it on the season.
Shorten the schedule this year. By whatever the doubleheader would be, the second doubleheaders.
Yeah, like that. But the runner on second base, I said this at the end of last year, I grew to like the rule.
Yeah, I hate it. I think it's very dumb.
Okay.
If I want to see a runner on second base in extra innings, I will go to my co-ed adult softball league.
Well, see, here's the thing. It does not really do much as far as health and safety protocols. It shortens the game, but you're already there for 4 hours. So what's the difference if you're there for 4 hours or 5 hours? Like, whatever. I just find it more entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's more about like the amount of guys in the game and you know, the roster sizes and all these things that they're trying to limit as much, whatever. It's stupid, but it's happening. So I'm not going to sit here and cry about it.
I hope they have not said this yet, but I hope there is no postseason bubble again. I really disliked that. I thought, and who knows what the fan capacity will be come October 2021, but even if it's what we saw at the World Series or what we saw at the Super Bowl when it's like 25% occupied, having playoff games in your own stadium is so key to the atmosphere and the feeling that you get from October baseball that it was neutered when the Yankees were playing in their bubbles in San Diego.
Yeah. I got to say, at the Super Bowl, I know a lot of people were very upset in the beginning when they saw the shots of the crowd and they're like, oh my gosh, that place is packed. Oh, and then you zoom
cardboard.
You zoom in, like, yeah, there's like a real person, then a cardboard person, then a real person, then a cardboard person.
They said there was, it was about 20% full, which is...
But from the naked eye, when you're looking at the stand, they looked full because you see movement, right? So you just assume the person next to them is just sitting there. And when they zoom in, you're like, oh, okay. That did not look like it, you know, the way it looked from when they zoomed out. So it was
interesting. Were you rooting against Tom Brady?
Of course.
Do you even care that he keeps winning? Like, does it even affect you anymore? He's no longer a Patriot. It's like...
Yeah, I'm sick of seeing it. So that's why I was like,
You didn't find this him winning without Belichick in his first season in Tampa. You didn't find that an amazing feat.
I found it very annoying. I found it highly annoying.
I think it was one of the more amazing sports feats of my
lifetime.
I mean,
do you see the roster that he has? The amount of talent on that offensive side? It's stupid. Yeah.
They were below 500 last year.
No, but they've gotten that much better. I mean, they added
it's the same roster.
Game. They added a run game. They changed the scheme. They added Antonio Brown. No, it's not the same roster. They added Rob Gronkowski.
Scott.
They added an immense amount of fire. Leonard Fournette, who on a football team with a real system, is a top 10 running back. So
Tom Brady took a 7-9 team with a buffoon for a coach and won a Super Bowl. That's what he did.
I don't even care to talk about this. Tom Brady is unequivocally the greatest of all time. There's no doubt. He cemented that again. So I have no problem with him at all.
I was just wondering
anymore.
If you were rooting against him. Because, like,
yes, of course I was rooting against him. I'm fickle and I want him to, I want to see him fail on big stages. Of course, he just doesn't do it. It's annoying.
The city of Tampa.
And he's married to a Victoria's Secret supermodel living in Jeter's house. It's annoying.
No, they moved. But the Rays ruined the three-peat for the city of Tampa.
You know what I thought was hilarious? In the beginning, there was at some point in the beginning of the Super Bowl coverage before they won the Super Bowl, obviously, they were talking about Tampa, what were they calling it? Champions. They were calling it something stupid.
Champa Bay?
There's too many of those dumb, like,
Tampa acronym, Brady.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it was. They were calling it like a city of champions or whatever. They're like, you know, the Lightning won, the Tampa Bay Rays got to the World Series. I'm like, oh, literally, that's not a champion. It's like
they were
the definition of not being a champion. They got there, but they did not win. You're not a champion if you lose.
Yeah, that's silly.
So it was.
But they were. They were.
So what you're saying is one team won in Tampa Bay. Got it. Okay, now two.
Two teams. Yeah, they were a nerd's decision possibly away from winning a World Series.
Yeah. Well, they still didn't win. So
that was Game Six, right? That the Blake Snell thing happened.
I think so. Seven? I don't remember. It might have been Game Six.
Yeah. So I think as far as the owners and the players fighting and when the season's going to start, I think it's going to start on time. I'm going to try and stay out of it. I know I got a little heated. I can't help but get angry because I love baseball. It might not sound like that sometimes, but I want baseball to succeed as a sport. I want it to be fun. I want it to be entertaining. And when I see shit like this happen, it annoys me. Do you understand that?
I do understand that, but I also understand that you have a very low tolerance for being annoyed with things like this. So that's why I'm trying to...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Coach you through this as a new father to be. Don't waste your bullets, baby, because you're going to get annoyed many more times about other things that probably matter a hell of a lot more. So, a bunch of grown ass men arguing over dumb shit that we know is going to happen. Don't let it bother you. It's going
to
happen.
Well, what are we going to do next December when that's all we have to talk about?
That's when it's really going to start. To be honest, this is all just jockeying ahead of time. This is just lobbying. This is all like the pregame show to the real show.
This is like the Super Bowl pregame show, except it's the 7:30 in the morning Super Bowl pregame show, and the game's still 11 hours away, and you just got all those stupid segments that you don't want to watch. That's what this is.
This is the Pro Bowl, the season before the season. It's like, it's not going to, doesn't matter. All this stuff is going to get blown up. It's just jockeying. But they're going to play baseball, so that's good. And we got two guys, the two biggest dudes on our team coming in phenomenal shape. Love that.
Best shape of their life, baby.
Love that.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all gone through a lot over the past year plus with COVID. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area, and it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see for yourself. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. We have a great special offer for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. One more time, BetterHelp.com.
MLBBlunt.com/Bronx21. All right, the big news this week, obviously, was that Trevor Bauer signed with the Dodgers. The Mets had him as far as Bob Nightingale was concerned. The Mets had him for 4 or 5 minutes on Twitter, and then he switched and went to the Dodgers. Very interesting contract.
Which we expected, right? A very interesting contract.
Well, we knew Bauer. Bauer, a couple of years ago, said he wanted to be a hired gun. He wanted to sign these one-year massive deals and control his own destiny. If I put up numbers, you're going to pay me for the next year, and I can move around where I want. And while he still has power because he has opt-outs after each of the first 2 years, so he's going to make $40 million, which is the highest ever annual value for a player. He's going to make $40 million in 2021 and then $45 million in 2022. So he could bang.
He accomplished what he wanted to do, man. Like they hats off to Trevor Bauer. Hats off to his agent. What's her name? Rachel Luna. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. They controlled this entire thing the entire time, and he did it in the public eye. So
seeing though what he signed for now. So the Dodgers are now over the luxury tax. The Dodgers were under, and they said, screw it. We're going to sign the best free agent pitcher this year. Now we're going to have a rotation of Walker Buehler, Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May, Julio Urias. Oh, and oh yeah, David Price is still there. He's coming back.
Best shape of his life.
That is an absolutely insane starting rotation. It's bonkers how good that starting rotation is. The Dodgers saying, screw it. We don't care about the luxury tax. Seeing how this contract was formulated now, does that change your mind at all how the Yankees should have been involved in this?
No, because I think I said Rachel Luba is her name, the agent. No, it does not surprise me. I mean, look, I think I was comparing this when he was talking about it the first time to like a Darrell Revis type contract, right? That 1 year hitman type contract where he goes and just is essentially betting on himself. It's a big bet for the other teams, but he's betting on himself when you're looking at the duration of the contract, and that's exactly what he's doing. So he's it's not surprising. We knew it was going to be high AAV and small amount of years. So it was a matter of the Yankees making the decision to pay him on a short-term contract and go over the luxury tax or not, and they chose not.
Yeah, I just think I thought at the end of the day, Bauer was going to get a more traditional contract because when you have $200 million on piece of paper in front of you, it's really hard to say no to that. But maybe that was never offered and this was the only thing offered. But this is what he ended up signing for. And it changes my opinion on that I would have gone after Bauer if I were the Yankees, because under these circumstances, if it blows up in your face, you're not stuck with him for 7 years. Mm-hmm. If he really is a clubhouse pest and he doesn't fit in, guess what? He could be gone after 1 year, and I'm willing to take that risk for 1 year, but I'm not willing to take that risk for 7 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was part of the mentality, I think, with Trevor Bauer. And I just don't think that the Yankees, they prioritize different things and they clearly said luxury tax threshold is a priority. We're not going to get into this 1 year, bidding war for Trevor Bauer, because that's essentially what it came down to.
So how does this change your, it's difficult because it's the National League, but does this change your championship expectations for the Yankees? Because you could make arguments that the two best teams in baseball are now in the National League, the Dodgers and the Padres.
I don't think the Padres are as well-rounded of a team. I mean,
they still have to show it, but they got a hell of a lot better this offseason. And the Dodgers are the reigning champs, and they added the best free agent pitcher.
If you're looking at the two teams on paper, who are the best? It's the Dodgers and the Yankees to me still. But the Dodgers got a hell of, yeah, they got better. They got deeper in their rotation, which is, you know, I mean, you look at that rotation in the regular season and it's scary. Now translate that to the postseason, and you got almost two aces per game that you could deploy if you really wanted to. Like, you legitimately could do that. Like, you could have two starting pitchers in game one and game two, ready to go and really not miss a beat. So it's pretty scary what they could do. They still have to go through a whole bunch to get to the World Series. So it's kind of one of these, I'm glad they're in the National League. Worry about it when it happens, if it happens. But those are the I mean, Dodgers Yankees is to me the overwhelming favorite for the World Series.
That's been circling the drains for like five seasons now.
Yeah, I want it. It's really, you know, I wish it happened before the Dodgers had won a World Series, but I still want it to happen. I think it's.
But you know what? I'm actually at hap. I'm if it happens coming up in 2021, I'm really happy it didn't happen in 2020 because that would have felt fake. It would have felt fake. Yeah. So if it happens, I hope it's played at Dodger Stadium and at Yankee Stadium, and there can be at least 20,000 people there, and it can feel real. Even if I'm not there, I can feel watching on TV. I can feel some juice. I felt no juice in the postseason last year. I need juice, Scott.
That hum wasn't enough for you. No,
because I know it's fake. I know it's fake. So I forgot
about it at times. I'm not gonna lie. Like at times, I'm like, oh yeah, it does sound like the stadium sounds pretty real. Until you see a foul ball and like the fake like excitement is what got me. Like. Dependent on the play, like that's where you lost me, is the fake excitement or the fake upsetness of a stadium. Like that they did not do well. The DJ was off at that point. The hum, like the beat was all right, but then when they dropped, you know, to the to when any action happened, it lost me.
It's like when you catch a fake. It's like when you catch a singer lip syncing.
Yeah.
It's just
for a moment it looks real, feels real, sounds real. Nope.
So it's I thought baseball got hurt from a TV perspective more than any other sport, because football, basketball, and hockey were able to hide. They were basically you're just able to focus on the field itself and you kind of take the crowd out of it. But baseball, the stands are integral part of almost every pitch, because you see it behind the batters, and then anytime a ball's hit, you see it. You see the backdrop.
Yeah.
So from a visual standpoint, you're reminded almost every minute that there's no one there. Whereas football, you go an entire quarter and you never see the stands and then you never think twice about it.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a different animal. When you look at what happened last year, all sports were affected, you know, based on the viewership number. So everybody was down. There was a reason people weren't going there. It felt different for all of them, you know, looking and watching it. There just wasn't the same buy-in for fans, I think. You know, I think a lot of the casual fans fell off, and that's where you see the numbers dipping.
So you think it's going to change this year? You think that's going to come back?
Yeah, I think it'll be bumped up for sure. I think last year, even if it's similar circumstances, the fact that last year happened and we all went through it, to me, will just make things a little bit more normal. It's not going to be as new, obviously, and people will get back to... I mean, I think people are yearning and like really, really, really yearning to get back to routines, normal routines, not fake 2020 routines, but like actual routines that they enjoy or things that feel like normal life. So yeah, I think that level of yearning for normalcy is very strong right now.
Bauer was the last big shoe to drop, but there's still a ton of unsigned free agents out there and guys that are, some are at the end of their careers. Some I think could still definitely contribute, but some I think could be had for pretty cheap. Some names like Mitch Moreland, Marwin Gonzalez, Jonathan Villar, Justin Turner, I know has been talking with the Dodgers. I don't know.
He's not going to be cheap either.
Yeah. Brett Gardner, obviously, Jackie Bradley Jr., Josh Reddick. Yachty is on the list, but I think, did he end up signing back with the Cardinals? I saw a report that they're very close on a deal to bring him back.
Even if he hasn't, I just assume it's going to happen.
There's some rotation options like Jake Odorizzi, James Paxton, Taijuan Walker, Rich Hill, Anibal Sanchez. I find the most interesting list to be the bullpen, because I think some of these guys could be had for under the Yankees luxury tax. And guys that I think could contribute, Trevor Rosenthal, Mark Melanson, Shane Green, Justin Wilson, all those guys are ex-Yankees.
Brandon Kinsler,
like some of these pitchers, don't you think it would be worth it for a couple million bucks to add another veteran bullpen option?
Yeah, I think it's possible that they do that. I think they're going to wait and see how these guys shake out a little bit. I also a name on here that's like relatively interesting. I was looking up his splits is Nick Markakis, who could platoon in an outfield, but again, a lefty bat. I was looking at his splits from last year, and he actually did worse against right-handed pitching than he did left-handed pitching. But kind of throwing out that year in some cases, I went back and looked at 2019.
Throw it out when it's convenient.
Yep, when it's convenient, when I want it to be something different. I looked back at 2019, which was a full season, And I know it's hard to go back on guys like Markakis just because he's getting older and older every year. So it doesn't mean as much when you start looking back at full years because he's still a year older. And you know, you never know when that cliff is going to happen or has happened. So, but if you look at 2019 numbers, Markakis certainly gave you the splits that you'd expect and was a lot stronger against right-handed pitching, which I still believe is something that the Yankees could use, especially towards the end of the season. So if a guy like Markakis, like a guy like that would not surprise me mid-season, trade deadline time frame-ish in around that area, if like he was still there, adding a guy like that, a bat like that would not surprise me for the Yankees getting into the postseason. I still think that that will be something that they target later in the season when they have a better idea of where their numbers are, you know, as the season has progressed. They can be a lot more confident that they will hit the, you know, under the threshold. So wouldn't be surprised if a guy like that were to resurface.
A name on this list that intrigues me is Sinshu Chu. And I was looking up his stats when we were doing our GM episode. He's ancient and he's been injured, but you could basically get him for a spring training invite, I would guess. And he is a lefty bat and he doesn't strike out. And if you're going to add that as a fifth outfielder / DH option, bat off the bench, you have an extra roster spot now.
And two more, 28 when the rosters expand for playoffs. So
as a spring training, maybe like $1 million if he makes the roster sort of thing. Like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I don't see that's where you lose me a little bit on like the way that they're going to shuffle around the roster. Like, I don't see a guy like Shin-Soo Chu or even Markakis. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I see them surfacing later in the season. I don't see them like getting onto a roster and being there all year long. You're just taking up a spot really for not that much. You need them at the end of the year, more so for the Yankees. That's where the fit is. The fit is having a lefty bat that comes in, you know, a little bit later. And that's where I see a lefty bat platoon guy surfacing potentially, or a low impact trade that really just has impact on right-handed starting pitching in the playoffs.
Yeah. You're running the risk that someone else picks some of these guys up, but there's so many of these players. Like Jason Stark was tweeting, you could legitimately fill an entire roster of players and the team would be decent.
Yeah, they'd be old, but they'd be decent. Maybe. Ryan Braun's still hanging out.
Ryan Braun, he's a guy, like he went from being MVP candidate to just being universally hated.
Yes. Yes. That's
because of the
accurate.
Whole steroids.
And it's actually less about the him taking steroids thing, but more about him throwing some a random guy under the bus.
Definitely. That's
just
why
because
Lance
he's an
Armstrong.
Asshole.
That's why Lance Armstrong is hated. It's not because he did steroids and won 7 Tour de France. It's because he then lied about it and tried to like throw everyone else under
Burn
the bus.
Burn everybody down with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Just take your medicine. Apologize. Andy Pettit.
Go Andy Pettit style. Exactly.
Use Andy Pettit as the figure for how you accept blame for steroids. You stand up there, you apologize, you thank God, and you get off the podium.
Whoa, 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 whoa. He did not do steroids. It was just a little HGH, just trying to get back right and compete hard for your team. That's all he was doing. He's just a team guy, wanted to get
how
back
do you
faster.
Argue with that? How do you argue with that?
You can't argue with that. You cannot argue with that. Andy Pettit, love him. Love
so,
him.
So the last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up is baseball might be dejuicing the balls. So after 3 years of them,
oh, they're dejuicing. They're being very, they're being very open and honest, saying we're dejuicing the ball.
But after 3 years of telling us, no, there's nothing different about these baseballs. Like, what are you talking about? These are the exact same baseballs that have always been. Now they're finally saying, oh yeah, they were juiced. We're gonna have to dejuice them. There's a whole bunch of technical mumbo jumbo in the Athletic article that I read, but here I will read a few things.
They're like, the Athletic is going to cut a baseball in half anyway, dissect it.
No, they're going to get a rocket scientist to do this shit.
Yeah, they're going to go out and like, there's someone, some nerd's going to determine like what the air looks like on a warm day, on a cold day, what the impact of the nerd's going to say, the impact of this ball is X. Let's just tell them what we know, give them the course, the sample of it. We'll slice it. We'll give them a drawing. We'll do it all. We'll just give the nerds what they need so we can control the narrative. Okay, go.
Rawlings says the balls will be centered more in the midpoint of the established core range, COR range, which is from 0.530 to 0.570, with a midpoint around 0.550. Core is the coefficient of restitution, or the relationship of the incoming speed to the outgoing speed. So, in other words, in layman's terms, the ball will be less bouncy.
Yeah. Less juice off the bat. What I think I read it, it was, wasn't there an equivalent of like 5 feet? Isn't that what it was? I thought there was like at the end of the day, it's 5 feet, and 5 feet knocks you down like 10 home runs a year.
No, well, I didn't see that 5 feet thing.
I saw that somewhere. It was something like that. Like at the end of the day, like the actual distance and what they propose it takes off is like 5 feet, something along those lines. So all the wall scrapers are no longer going to be caught.
But you know what? Cool. Because how many times did we see a wall scraper that off the bat you're like, okay, that's going to be a fly out to the warning track, and it was two rows deep. I think that could make a big difference, because if you hit a ball 15 rows deep, fine, that's a home run. That's a clear home run every time, no matter what. But when you hit a ball that scrapes the wall, and 5 years ago it was an out and now it's a home run, that drastically changes the game.
Look, I am increasingly more and more just not caring about all of these other circumstances that are happening.
Because
Let me tell you why. Because do you know if this is actually right? No, you don't.
No, I don't. I'm not smart enough to know.
And you know what? Are they talking about the seams being raised or lowered or anything about that? Because I'm not seeing much about that either. And actually, that was one of the biggest impacts from what the pitchers had talked about, was the seam. Was the seam being raised or not? The amount of blisters that were happening because the seams were raised and literally cutting guys' hands because of the way that they've always thrown.
No, I thought the seams were lower, and that's why the balls were becoming more aerodynamic.
Right, that's my point. But do you remember, I keep going back to this article that I found last year, 2 years ago now, of these guys having blister
you
problems.
You found some shady PDF uploaded to like Google Drive.
No, it was not a shit. It was post-game notes from a beat reporter. It was not shady.
But it wasn't really an article, though. You sent it to me and I was like, why am I downloading some
because
link
it's actual
off Google
transcripts
Drive?
Of a conversation. It's more real than an article.
You entered an alternate dimension where you just blacked out and just spewed a bunch of nonsense about baseball seams.
I listen to these guys who have blisters. All of a sudden everybody's having blisters. Why? Because their hands are getting cut by the freaking seams that were raised. There's also a condition with the seams. Are they lower? Are they higher? I don't know. What's going on with that? Because that will affect the feel, like you said. Even David Cohen would talk about this on the broadcast, and yes, multiple times. He's holding a ball. He can't feel the seams as much. And when you cannot feel the seams, especially in colder weather, it will affect the flight of the ball and how it comes out of your fingers. That's a big deal. So is the ball juiced? Is the ball not juiced? Are the seams up? Are the seams down? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't care. I just don't. Everybody's using the same balls. Everybody's using the same to hit and pitch, and it just doesn't matter to me as much anymore because it's a relative level playing field, even though it's different from last year.
So I'm
done caring about that. Just like throw the ball, the guy will hit it or not, and it will go out or it won't.
The thing I've found interesting from the article is that they referenced the Korean baseball organization, so the KBO, made a similar change in the baseball, similar like technical change as far as differences, and slugging percentage year over year went down 14%, and homers were cut by a third. That seems like a very drastic change. A third, 33% decline in home runs would be massive. I don't know if that would be acceptable to baseball. I feel like that there would be an outcry. Baseball, because home runs went up 22% for year over year when we were talking about the baseball being juiced. So now if you take out a third of that, we're going to be like, what's going on here?
Well, I don't know where the KBO is as far as like their increase in home runs before that as well. I mean, was it the same percentage increase as we're seeing across the board here? Or was it, are we looking at a league that doesn't hit as many home runs? And then, so you saw a more dramatic decrease. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what any of this means. To me, it means nothing. It's all a bunch of bullshit scientist numbers that mathematicians and nerds can compute in their computers and then figure out something at the end of the season when they have all the data. But you know what? What I'm looking for, the only thing that matters to me is if David Cohen says, yes, this feels different. I can't get the same spin or the same release on my slider. Like that to me is different. That makes sense.
Let me put it to you this way. because I do kind of agree with you. Like, all this 0.570, 0.550, the core, the grams of the, whatever. Who actually cares? What I want...
Does global warming come into play?
What I want is that when I'm watching a baseball game...
The air is thinner.
I've watched so many baseball games in my life that I have, not to brag or anything, but I can usually tell when a ball is going to be a home run or not a home run off the bat. You could tell by a lot of different factors.
When we were in the stands and James Paxton threw that ball after Aaron Boone went out there, the first pitch to hype the James Paxton up, did you think that ball was in the stadium or out of the stadium?
So it's different being in...
Just answer the question.
I thought it was out of the stadium.
It was gone. It was gone off the bat and our nuts were in our heels. But
that's partially because of the juice baseball. What I want to get back to is that when I see a ball hit, I don't want to have to think in the back of my head, oh, juice baseball, that's probably going to be gone. I don't want to be surprised by what were pop flies now leaving the park. I think back to that Justin Verlander quote where he said that he is actively just trying to miss bats because he is sick of getting weak contact that go out of the ballpark. That's not baseball.
But the other thing about that too is that the approach of baseball, the approach of guys at the plate with, you know, the whole launch angle movement and everybody literally swinging for the fences also affects this. So there are multiple things to take into play here. Yes, juice balls.
That's a good point. That could change the overall. That could
certainly
be a better change for the game.
It absolutely is a big change because now guys are being intentional about how they're approaching their at bats, and they are literally swinging for the fences because they want impact. They want production. So yes, there's going to be more of an emphasis and more balls flying out. Even if the balls weren't juiced, I bet we would have seen a pretty tremendous increase because of the approach of the at bats from the players. So again, that's why none of this, like, there's too many factors for me to really, really care that much about, 0.0005 of core, which is an acronym, which everybody thought was the literally core of the baseball, which they're just being tricky again, which pisses me off. It's not C-O-R-E, like the core, like the Earth's crust core. It's the core, C-O-R, which is a stupid acronym that makes it even more nerdy and I don't care because they're trying to trick people. Whole thing is dumb. Just play baseball.
Let me get this straight. Everything that has been brought up this episode, the de-juicing of the baseball, the health and safety protocols, the will they, won't they delay the season, it's all dumb.
That's not dumb. It's just like, let's get out and play baseball. If they delay the season, we'll see what happens. But all of these little tiny intricacies about them when they're playing, they just don't matter to me as much. I just want to see them play the game. And then we'll find out what the results are. And then we'll argue if the ball was juiced or not, or if it was the launch angle, or if the weather was changed in a particular percentage on that day, warmer, more humidity. I don't know. What is it called when the humidity comes in heavy? It was something, a swarm or something that we got in San Diego, right? It was like the humidity came in a way off of the Pacific Ocean. It was, that gave us some other name for some other thing that affected the baseball. I don't even remember what it was.
It was something front, right? Wasn't it a front?
I don't know. It was it was like a tidal wave of humidity that came in and affected the baseballs.
It was sweaty. It was sweaty air.
They were sweaty balls, and the ball was flying out because of the sweatiness of the balls.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. We'll leave it as Scott talking about sweaty balls. I will probably not be on next week's episode, depending on when this baby comes and when we want to record. But you might have Scott and a different host, or I might be back. But next time I talk to you, I will have a baby. I also am knocking on wood that everything goes fine. So,
knocking on wood. Yes, congratulations. We're excited.
Any final pieces of advice for me?
Final pieces of advice,
like in the hospital. In the hospital, advice.
Yeah, don't be a hero.
Don't try and catch it. Don't try and catch the baby. Don't get out in a crouch.
Listen to the doctors. Don't be overly aggressive. Don't cry like a little bitch. Don't pass out. Definitely don't pass out. If you pass out, we have to talk about that on air. And don't look, to be honest. Don't look. Stay above the waist.
Yes, I've heard that.
Stay above the curtain.
I've heard that advice.
There's no reason for you to go down there. There's just not.
Any advice as far as like killing time, because we could be in for a long haul.
No, just do whatever you got to do to kill time. You know, take a tablet or a book and just sit there. You will be sitting there probably doing nothing. And then she will get an epidural most likely and whatever happens. And then, and then you'll see her in a different light and you'll have a hell of a lot of respect for everything that she's doing. Not that you don't now, but you'll have even more respect and you will think in your head, my God, how is this possible? Thank you that I don't have to do this. You are way better than me. You are way stronger than me. You're a better person. All of these things. Because that's what's going to go through your head. And
The old joke is that if men had to give birth, the population would end.
Be very low.
Humanity would end.
Yeah, probably. We would not be here.
All right. That's it for this week. Talk to you guys next week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.